glad that Gary used the word for our edification. You know, that's, again, what your teachers tried to do for you when you were going through school and they were trying to teach you. Remember last week I said take out a pen and paper, and I heard some giggles and some, I didn't see any frowns because you knew I'm kidding. But I'm glad to see you back this week to continue the test, right? To continue the test. Because for our edification, for our building up of our faith, that's what edification means, to build up our faith as a good teacher would do. I don't know if you've ever tried to experience God. The church, in a large measure today, is trying to experience God. They're trying to find ways, even like deep secrets that are hidden in the Bible somewhere, or some kind of method, some kind of a special way to experience God. That's dangerous. That's dangerous, because when we try to experience Him, we're reaching out in ways that our flesh would like to do, we think is possible with our mind. Maybe how we would do it with somebody else. That's not how you experience God. You experience God by His Word, through His Word. When the Word of God is rooted in your heart and you obey it, you begin to be blessed. He blesses you. Your heart changes. Your mind changes. Your attitude changes. I think even Gary this morning was talking about Psalms. When you're reading through Psalms and you're reading the truth of that, the Holy Spirit comes over you. And He experiences you. He comes over you. He helps you. If you want to reach out to God, you do it through His Word. We do it through obeying His Word and understanding it. James is a bondservant or a free will slave to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to, so this letter is to the 12 tribes. That's us right now. Just put yourself in that position. And if you want to experience God, you count it all joys, my brother. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. How do we know that? Because that's what the Scripture says. That's what the Scriptures say. Lord, I am facing life ahead of me. You've called me to yourself, and I'm going to face this life and trials ahead of me. So I want to experience it with you. All right? Be in my word, he would say. Be in my word and know me and know what to do along the way. Along the way. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's the experience that you want in God. Remembering this, Proverbs says this, that you bring up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart from it. We're going to be quite a bit in Proverbs today. Proverbs is that book of wisdom. It's called wisdom literature in the Old Testament. And it's righteous wisdom from heaven above. Now you say, well, I'm gonna bring up a child in the way, so I'm going to bring him up in the Scriptures, and he's not going to depart from it. Has that ever happened? Have people departed from the Scriptures? Yes. This is wisdom from God to you as a parent, to bring a child up in his character and who he is in your household, and then leave it the rest to the Lord. Now, it's like this. You have a child. He's very, he likes to read. He loves to speak. Most kids do that, but he likes to read, let's say. He does a lot of reading. And you constantly are saying, kid, get up and go outside. Just get outside. Go outside. Mom, I want to read. Mom, I want to do this. No, you go outside. See, if that child likes to read and you're taking him away from that reading, what you should be doing is steering him in that reading. Steering that little girl and the gifts that she has. The desires, the righteous desires that she has. Bringing them up in the way that they should go. So that they will be perfect as best you can in correlation with the Lord's will and help. That child will be going down the life that they should be living. That's what the Lord does with you. Did you know that? Remember the measuring line. And he knows who you are and the gifts that he's given you and the personality that you are. And he says, I want this person perfect in my sight. We're going to talk about perfection here. But what is perfection? Is it being like Christ? Someday, yes. But being in perfection according to what and who God has for you. Who does God want you to be? That's who you want to be. You don't want to talk or act like somebody else. You want to be the person that God wants you to be. And then he will be blessed. If any of you lacks wisdom, and you see, I put a stop there. You see, in our testing and in the perfection and being complete and the person that God wants me to be, then I have to have wisdom. That's what he's saying here. And if you lack any wisdom into the situation that you're going into, in the problems ahead, in your life ahead, in the person that God wants you to be, if any of you lacks wisdom, and by the way, we all lack wisdom. We all lack wisdom. There will be sometimes when in our life when we're foolish, we do something foolish. Has anybody done anything foolish in their life? There's also a time when people are fools. There's a difference. See, when we go in our life, sometimes children just do foolish things. And we as children, we do foolish things. But what we don't want to be is continuous fools. We come to a situation and we need the wisdom of God to continue a walk of wisdom, a walk of righteousness. So first of all, what is wisdom? If anybody lacks wisdom, what is wisdom? Well, I took the test with the fifth grade teacher, and now I know how to spell her 20 words. Is that wisdom? Or is that understanding? There's a difference. And it's important to know the difference. Because God says you can have all the understanding in the world and actually be lost. And actually be lost. What is wisdom? It's first used, the words are first used 7 times in the book of Exodus. And in every single time, it is a skill or an ability for somebody to do something. To carry out a work given to them by God. You need to remember that. It's to a specific person to carry out a specific art or a specific skill in God, given from God. That's how it's first used. And then, so wisdom is not only knowing what to do. Again, that's understanding. Wisdom is knowing what to do and then doing it. And doing it right. Okay? Wisdom is doing righteousness. That's a good way to put it. Well, I know what to do, but I don't want to do it. Then you're not wise. If we don't know what to do, we go to the scriptures and find out what to do, and then we do it. As soon as we hear, we do it. You heard of that? You've heard sermons. I remember when I was young. When at the very moment that you find out what you need to do, it's at that point you need to do it. If you like wait and say, "Oh, let's carry that out tomorrow," remember when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son? When did he do it? Immediately. The word is immediately the next morning. He got up. Immediately the next morning. He got up. Wisdom is not only knowing what to do, but it is carrying it out. The one who knows what to do and doesn't do it is a fool. I learned all the math that I did in grade school and high school and whatever. I used all that math, and then when I go into a store, I give my money to the cashier and say, please count this out for me. Because I didn't learn a thing. I mean, I maybe heard it, maybe I remembered it once. I did what's called a brain dump. You just dump what you learn and you go on. No, it is knowing what to do and then doing it. If we don't do it and we know what to do, that is foolishness. And again, sometimes we have times of foolishness and then we actually live foolish lives. All of our life, we're going along, I know what to do, but I'm just simply not going to do it. That is a fool. Furthermore, though, in Christ, there is an ability. There's actually wisdom from above is an ability to do what you want or what God wants, and actually also a desire. There's a desire to say, no, I'm going to be wise. I want to do what my Father wants. I don't want to do what the world wants. I don't want to do what the flesh wants. So you know what to do. You want to do it. And then you carry it out. That's the picture, the full picture of wisdom. You can know what to do and want to do and then not carry it out. That's not wisdom. It is all three of those things. So how do I get wisdom? Well, there's several things. First of all, it's the fear of God. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is, everybody knows this, the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. They have to go together. I have to know what to do, and then I'm going to do it. And the beginning of all of that is knowing God. It's knowing God. Folks, we can say to an unbeliever, you're a wise person, and actually be off kilter there. All right? They may be understanding and have the capability of doing certain things. Again, all men and women have certain gifts from the Lord. We're in His image. But wisdom is from above because it's pure, it's right, it has the desire and the ability to carry out God's word, God's will. It comes with knowing God. Now, when you first come into the church, let's say you first give your heart to the Lord, you begin to wake up. Something happens in you, and of course we know that we have those spiritual gifts, but this is just a little bit something different. It is the wisdom from above. Your eyes are open. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the eyes of the world are closed. They're veiled. But when you come to God, He unveils your eyes. And your heart lifts up. You want to know Him. See, there's the beginning. You start to know Him. You start to know His ways. And then you're going along and you go, you know, I didn't know that. I remember my mom saying that or praying that. I didn't know that, but now I hear it. Now I get it. What happened? The veil was taken away from your heart and your eyes. And so it's knowing God. And then it comes with the gifts or the gift of wisdom to an extent. And then that the more that you walk with the Lord, the more that you live in Him, the more wisdom you will get. So knowing God, it comes with Him, from Him. And then number three, you ask. And we're going to talk about more about asking later. Okay? So what method? That's how it comes, but what method does wisdom come? What method? Twofold. The Word. It comes through the Word of God. Specifically through the Word of God. Let's say that you heard about Jesus once. You know you're a sinner. And then you come to Him and you give Him your life. And you're saved. Now how do you learn to walk in Him? The idea of discipleship comes to mind. The idea of knowing the Word comes to mind. You see, the Holy Spirit is just not going to use worldly wisdom or things that you have gained and experience you've gained over your life. In fact, that's dangerous. That's called syncretism, where I have the Lord, and I was saved once, but I just didn't read the Word. I didn't get into discipleship. I don't go to Sunday school. I don't go to church, whatever. So I'm just going along, and the Lord will lead me. No, He won't. He will not. He leads you through the Word. It must be through the Word. Must be. It has to be. You cannot separate God and His Word. You can't. And so it comes through the Word. Deuteronomy 4:5. See, I have taught you statutes and rules, as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom. Keep them, so know them, keep them, do them, that's your wisdom. That's your wisdom. And for you young people in particular, know them and then fight the flesh and do them. Because that's the hard part. To get knowledge and then to walk out and not do them is the rough part of a young person's life, and sometimes even us old people. Keep them and do them. That will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding. How do they know? When they hear the statutes. When they hear you and see your life and they say, well, why are you different? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the Word, you know. Somebody asks you for advice. Well, let me tell you what I've read in Proverbs. Let me tell you what Jesus said about that situation. Let me tell you what Paul said about that situation. That's using biblical wisdom. Hopefully, they'll get it and carry it out. But by the way, you just telling them is biblical wisdom on your part. Matthew 7:24, Jesus said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and what? Acts on them. Is like a wise man. Do you want to be wise? You know the Word. I want to be wise. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. He goes on to say in James here, he's going to go on to say, be doers of the Word. It's interesting. Again, this morning in Sunday school, in Isaiah chapter 50, Gary was reading, and it came across this verse. Isaiah 50 verse 5, the Lord that opened my ear, and I have not turned away. He opened my ear, and I have not turned away. I have made my forehead as flint. That's been one of my favorite kind of sayings for the last 30 years, and when I say it, people look at me like, yeah, I thought you were supposed to be a heart of stone. Your heart is supposed to be flesh. Your forehead is supposed to be like flint. You're not changing my mind. You're not changing my mind. Romans 2:13. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but it is the doers of the law. Now we have to say this again. You're not saved by the law. You don't keep the law to be saved. You keep the law because you are saved. We want to fulfill the law out of love. Let's see. Ephesians chapter 5 says, find out what it is to please the Lord. What pleases the Lord? Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. You know those 10 commandments? That pleases the Lord. I think I'm going to try those. I'll start with those. And hopefully we can move on beyond those things. He wants us to carry out His law out of love. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we gain knowledge. Hosea 4:6, we are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, but worse, we're worse off if we know it and then don't do it. Be doers of the Word and not just hearers. I want to take you through an interesting concept here. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning of the Psalms, which is poetry, it has wisdom in it, but it is poetry. And then Proverbs is the book of wisdom, of course. Watch how these two start out. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. What is that? That's wisdom. That's knowing what the Lord said. He commands me to do what pleases him, and now I'm going to carry it out. And I'm not going to sit in the seat of or walk in the way of somebody who doesn't. Now watch how Proverbs 1 starts out. Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, who, by the way, is the son of David, the king of Israel. So the father and the son gets it. To know wisdom and instruction. There's one. You got to know wisdom and instruction. To understand words of insight. To receive instruction in wise, here's the action words, dealing in righteousness, justice, and equity. That pretty much covers it. That if I understand God's word, I'm going to know how to deal righteously along that line there, along that line of justice and righteousness, the plumb bob, and then inequity to everyone. It's interesting that the book of Proverbs is, to me, James has always been the New Testament portrait of Proverbs. This is how you walk in God. Here's some general statements that are going to help you have a good walk with the Lord with much blessing. And here's how it starts in the book of wisdom. Follow this. Number one is by the fear of the Lord. Chapter 9, verse 10. That's the foundation. And then it says it's an expressed in submission to his will. True worship. All right? So I have the fear of the Lord, and I'm going to express that fear in wisdom, in true worship. Upon this fear, the Lord disciples me or disciplines me. He leads me in his wisdom. That's chapter 15, verse 33. And your wisdom is expressed in hatred of evil. I hate evil because God hates it. And I avoid sin. That's in 8:13 and 16:6. And all this results in a prolonged life. That's in 10:27 and 19:23. And by the way, James says in Proverbs as well, says you'll have joy. So in the book of Proverbs, you have this whole thing set out. The whole issue about wisdom. That's why it's called wisdom literature. I'm going to find my life in God. He's going to help me along in my life as I obey him and submit to him. And I'm going to carry this out, and then he's going to prolong my life because he wants the nations and the people and my family to know him. And he's going to prolong my life to do that, and he's going to bless me along the way and give me joy. What more do you want? That's the life that I want. That's the life that I strive for. But sometimes I'm a fool. Sometimes I know what to do, and I just decide, not today, Lord. All right. There's that discipline thing. I'll talk to you about that later. Let me just read a little bit of Proverbs 2. Let me get the right book here. Proverbs chapter 2. The whole chapter here is about this, but I'm just going to read the first section of it. Watch how wisdom carries it out. My son, if you receive my words, there's the word of God. If you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, came knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of righteous of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be the pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil. It's interesting, you can't really separate this whole idea. of having the knowledge, then doing it, then the Lord will bless you in it and give you wisdom. You will ask for more wisdom. It'll come again as you walk in it. He gives you more. You can't stop at anyone to have wisdom. You have to continue in the whole process of wisdom. James 3:13. He who is wise and understanding among you, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. That is a pretty powerful word. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now we're going to get into these things a little bit more specifically as we get into that chapter, but you can see that all of those things, and who can keep all of those things? It's amazing. But we can, in general, if we're walking in wisdom. And James starts that way. Proverbs starts that way. The book of Psalms, David, starts that way. But, however, if any of you lacks wisdom, here's the rest of it, let him ask. Let him ask God. We want to just take a second now. That's a command. Let him ask. All right? Now, it's been said, but we all lack wisdom. So we can't say, well, I've got enough wisdom for that. We all lack wisdom. So we need to ask. Secondly, God gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask. Now, I want to take you back to this concept here. You are a free will bondservant of Jesus Christ. But what did he call you? What did he call the disciples just before he left? I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. I call you friends. So you got a great neighbor, need a cup of sugar. You go to ask the neighbor for a cup of sugar. He's got a bag or she's got a bag in her cabinet. And they say, I'm not giving you any sugar. That's not much of a friend. Let's turn it around. You need some sugar. You got a good friend next door. And you say, well, I'm not going to go ask. I'm not going to go ask. Or you got a brother and sister next door. I'm not going to ask. Why not? Why not? We don't want to be beggars and choosers. It's different than sharing next door neighbors and all that kind of things. We're afraid to ask. There's a concept here where there's such a close relationship with you and Jesus Christ. There is such a bond between you and Jesus Christ because of his blood that if you don't ask, that is sin. If you don't ask, I want to show you a concept that I hope that you'll understand for the rest of your life. Take this with you, okay? 2 Samuel 7. The Lord is talking about Samuel here. He's talking about Solomon here, okay? Now watch what happens. He's talking to David. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men, but my steadfast love will not depart from him. Now, again, I hope that you know the Old Testament. Because when you come across this and you say, he says, I will be a father to you. I've heard some people say, I've heard several people say, the father concept is never mentioned in the Old Testament. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie. The close, intimate relationship and love between God and his people are not in the Old Testament. That is a complete lie. Okay? The concept of father and son starts there. And he's showing it to you vividly. It's written down to you vividly. So that he's saying to you, all right? You who are priesthood and ambassadors, right? You who have been given the right to become children of God, John chapter 1. That's what he's saying to you. Now he's going to establish his kingdom in Jesus Christ later. But you're in that, and he's got a perfected walk for you. But watch how this carries out. If you count yourself as a daughter and a son, a child of God, you should be asking him. You need to ask him. It's a command. Watch what happens. 2 Chronicles 1:7. In that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you. Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people. For who can govern this people of yours, which is so great?" God answered Solomon, his son, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for possessions or wealth or honor or the life of those who hate you, and have not even asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may govern my people over whom I have made you king, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you." You know, beyond the gift of the Holy Spirit and salvation in Jesus Christ, the thing that you want is wisdom. You want wisdom. You seek for it as you would silver and gold. You seek for it before you go to work at the office. Because that's seeking for wisdom, for gold and silver so you can pay the bills. And that's good. That's fine. Go do that. But before you walk out the door, you say, "Lord, please give me wisdom. Before I walk out of that office to preach, I try to remember. I look up and it says, guide me in your path and strengthen me and lead me in your way. So that I can have wisdom first and then tell others about it. Because if I'm not doing it first, you guys are linked to a bad pastor. And we don't want to be linked to a bad mom or dad or grandfather or whatever. We want to be good business people and workers. And so before you even walk out the door, you say, "Lord, you've called me your son. You've called me your daughter. And I need wisdom to go before those people. You want to see a light in the nations. And I want to be that light. But I don't know how to do that without your word and without your Holy Spirit and your enabling me to do that." We have to do that. But listen, folks. You have to ask in faith. But let him ask in faith. Here's the warning. With no doubting, for the one who doubts is like the wave of a sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything. No, wait, stop. Anything. So now it's not just wisdom. It's anything. "Lord, I sure need help with my house. I sure need help with the bills. I sure need help with this and that and the other thing." Wait a minute. Are you doubting? Have you doubted? Do you doubt? Because you're not going to get anything if you doubt. "For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Unstable in all his ways. It's a person that understands. This is what's a strange thing to me in the church today. I listen to people who understand the counsel of God and they use it for their own good. I understand people who are preaching and they're out to do evil with it. They're out to build their own kingdom with it. It's happening over and over today. And the Lord says, "You come to me as a son or a daughter and you're going to get anything you need for your life. Anything. But don't doubt." You see, when Jesus was going to the cross, remember he showed up at Lazarus' tomb first, right? Why did he cry? He wept twice there. Why did he cry once, the first time? Why did he cry? Because they doubted. They doubted. Lord, he's been in there 4 days and he stinks. And he will rise again. Yes, he'll rise on the day, you know. And Jesus said, what? Haven't I told you? I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection. Again, the lady at the well. You have no bucket. You can't do this for me. I carried that with me for years. Lord, you can't do it with me. My heart is too bad. I'm too evil. Do you know what I've done? Do you know what I think? Do you know what I've been through? Do you know my family, my DNA? The Lord says, okay, you're doubting. And when you doubt, don't expect anything. You're going to learn some lessons. And then he brings you in to this. We'll say, I remember, and I'll just say it here. I'll just say it. I came to a point where I fell on my face. After being disciplined, I fell on my face and said, Lord, I've never loved you. I've never given you my heart. I've never trusted you. I'll tell you what, my life changed like that. Like that. It did. John Wesley kind of thing. It happened immediate. I trusted, I knew, because he called me a son. And I finally said, here's my life. I want to walk in wisdom before you. I haven't done it. I want to walk in wisdom. Okay, ask whatever you need. Put yourself in Solomon's seat. Hey, Solomon, what do you need? Hey, what do you need? Ask me what you need, is the Father saying. Dare to ask him. You're in sin if you don't. Isaiah 7. In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah. Who is he? He's a son of God. That's the picture. He's in David's house. He's a son. He's sitting in Solomon's seat. All right? When the house of David, see, was told Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of this people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And the Lord said to Isaiah, go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jaab, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the way to the watcher's field, and say to him, be careful and be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint. See the rules? Here's the picture. You and me, we're right here, right? 2021, I think, is it still? And we're in this day of problems and chaos, and everything's going haywire. Right? What does he want his sisters and or his sons and daughters to do? Don't fear. Be quiet. Be calm. And then watch. Oops. I lost it. I got to get over there real quick. It just take a second. Isaiah chapter 7. I deleted the slide. I probably shouldn't. And he says this. Do not fear and be calm. Verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord. Ask a sign of the Lord, your God. God, he said, let it be deep as hell, as deep as Sheol, or as high as the heavens. That's what he said. Ask for whatever you need. What did Ahaz say? What did the son say? He said, I will not ask. Here's his reasoning. I will not put the Lord to the test. Never, ever use that excuse. You are a son and a daughter. You need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what I need. I need wisdom. I need love. I need help. I need healing. Whatever it is. Psalm 145:15. The eyes of all who look to you, you give them food in season. Open your hand. Satisfy the desire of every living thing. Matthew 7:11. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Father in heaven wishes to give you all good things. All. Anything. anything. Now, if we go asking for BMWs, you know, we got a problem. If we go ask for those things, if you can afford them, that's one thing. But we don't go asking for riches and stuff. James is going to say later, you ask but you don't receive because you're going to, you know, use it for the wrong. But you go to him and say, this is what I need. I need healing. I need a good heart. I need this relationship fixed. I need to be sinless. I need to be wise. Ask and don't doubt. The Lord says, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him freely give us some things? All things. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. You see that? You have everything you need for life and godliness through the knowledge. You go get the knowledge, and you say, Lord, now give me the wisdom. I need the ability, I need the desire, I need the opportunity to carry this out. Because you're here to glorify his name and to be blessed and be joyous in that walk with him. That's what we want, to live a life before the Lord. I kind of lost track of my song here. Let's stand and sing. Give him everything, and he'll give you everything you need for life and godliness, all right? Sing loud. And now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Every once in a while, Bob will remind us of these two things. Mercy, mercy is not getting what you deserve. Death. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Love, peace, and joy. Lord, we love you. Help us in this walk. We need you, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that is from above. Help us to walk this walk like you did, like you told Joshua, in courage and strength and in the Spirit of the living God, that we may not turn to the left or to the right, but following your will and your word. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.